The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. Prepare yourself for some dad jokes.
It's like deja vu all over again.
Smooth, give me that smooth.
Cause you like that smooth loving.
We'll get into what's smooth and what's not smooth later on in the
but
show.
But Elijah Sky,
hey,
on the
man.
Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. That one is called Smooth. What's up, Justin?
Hey, Jason. Good to see you again. It's been a minute, as usual.
It has. Today, Tuesday, November 19th, 2019. We are coming up on the end of the year. Are you ready for the end of the decade?
Damn, I feel old now.
It's wait, the end that.
of the tens.
Teens.
2010s.
It's the teens.
No, it's going to be the teens.
No, it is the no.
13?
It was the teens.
Oh, it is 13. What am I doing?
Yeah, it's the end of the teens.
Oh, you're right.
We're moving on.
Who'd have thought? We have no flying cars.
Remember
by now.
When you were growing up and people were talking about 1913 and 1915 and 1919? Imagine what your grandkids are going to think when they thought back. The 2019.
They're going to be looking at our phone and be like, what is that?
Bruh, trippy, bruh.
What is going on?
It's not
on?
Even going to be their phone. It's going to be like in the
like implant. Tony Stark.
It's going to be the implant. They're not even going to have a phone. Damn. They're going to like talk to the sky and stuff's going to happen.
They'll live on the moon. They'll live on other planets.
You never know.
The Earth is flat.
You think you're going to see that?
The moon?
I don't know any of that.
I doubt it.
Because I got a full moon to show you right now.
Hey, dude. Where's the bell? All right, there he is.
Because
working.
We are here
in the ever
studio
famous
Kalihi.
We made it back to the roots. We're back sweating. Well, I'm sweating. I don't know what it is.
It's because you're not drinking so much alcohol to keep hydrated.
Well, I mean,
actually, we were just talking about that. You are keeping hydrated.
I am. I need to be hydrated.
In more ways than one. Talk about that first.
So I stopped by my local convenience store because I was thirsty. Honolulu Beer Works, Coco Weizen, Coconut Hefeweizen.
Yep. Quality local beer. Support local. Good job. It's a German-style ale, and they make it with toasted coconut. good stuff. And you know good what? Stuff. They brew it right around the corner from my job down in Kaka'ako. So the next time I'll come down to the office.
I can bring my $2 Goodwill jug and they can fill it up.
Honestly, they could. I don't know about that. You never know. If you tip well enough, they probably would. Exactly. As long as it's clean. As long as you let them wash it out, I bet you they'd fill it up.
What are you going to say? I don't know how to wash my own dishes?
No, it's just they got a license and stuff. You know what I mean? So if it's clean and they can fill it, they'll fill it.
Ooh, hello, Honolulu Beer Works.
If you come in with like an old Big Gulp cup, big gulp cup.
Do they even do that anymore? Big gulps?
Yeah. Like you go into one of them plastic cups, they're going to look at you and be like, nah. Okay.
Beat it.
Yeah. But if you got like your Yeti or your Thermos, you know what I mean? They'll fill that as long as it's clean.
You know what? I think what you're trying to say is that we need to go and broadcast
what I'm
beer.
What I'm trying to say is draft beer to me, honestly, is always going to be better than a canned beer.
Or
so
a bottle.
If you like what you just drank, go try it on draft.
All right. Don't twist my arm.
Better. If you ask me.
So with the ranking, we're going to go draft, bottle, can?
Yeah, sure.
Or it depends on what I'm saying.
Well, it depends because honestly, there's nothing really wrong with a can. Like, that's a myth that a can's gonna do you wrong.
Because that's what I've always heard. It's like, are you drinking from a can? Or like when you go to a party and you bring in like the 44 pack of cans, you're like, oh,
can is actually better because there's no light getting into the vessel and it can't spoil your beer. So a bottle, you can spoil the beer. That's why there's actually different colors of bottles.
I was just gonna say, is there a reason?
Yes. Because it makes it, it's not supposed to spoil the beer. But cans, yeah, anyways.
There you go. And that's Talk Draft. Beer with the Two High Dads.
There you go. Hey!
Hey!
Ring the bell.
So, rate, review, subscribe at Two High Dads. Of course, you know me, Mr. Social Media, even though I've been out for a minute.
I was going to say, somebody got a little sick and was kind of incognito. And I was posting and I was looking and going, where's the repost? Where's the retweets? Where's the likes?
And that's why we're
And there
team.
Was nothing but crickets.
That's why we're a team,
cool
Jason.
Daddy, cool J daddy, cool J daddy, J cool daddy, J. How many is there?
It's just two coups. Okay. Two coups. So from our marketing staff, our big marketing staff, we want to thank you for picking up the ball that I've dropped over the past. You know, actually, it's funny. Since Halloween, I've been sick. That's the last time we was.
Really? Yeah. It's been that. Dude, we're in like the middle of November. It's Thanksgiving.
I can't shake this cold. It's. Luckily, right now I've only coughed like four times, and I've coughed away from you and burped and all that kind of stuff.
Are you contagious?
At one point, I was led to believe that I was contagious, but it wasn't like pink eye or my herpes or shingles.
What was it then?
It was just a cold, and it was
just the good old fashioned
fat OG cold. Yeah.
Wow.
And it started off in the chest. You know how that goes, and it goes up to my brain.
Stick around, and then it goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
So like recently, within the past week, after I pounded like two boxes of Sudafed, two boxes of NyQuil, some Nasacort, some weird gummies that my girlfriend bought at Down to Earth. I think I'm flushing it out, and I feel a whole lot better. So I think this music is awesome. This is what happens when we don't record for like 2 weeks. I miss all of this music, and you know what I'm missing too is your hair.
It fell off, bro.
I told you when I shave my head, you should shave your head too.
Speaking of viruses, well, actually, speaking of bugs,
what now?
What you think, bro? Why does anyone that has a kid cut off their hair?
No. Are you serious?
Bro, I wish we had video. If we had video right now, that would have been a clip that I would post and we would share and share and share. Because it was amazing watching the registration happen in your brain.
Oh, man. I was...
What you think? Say it.
I wish that upon nobody.
Say it.
The ukus.
What?
Ukus.
You're right.
Oh, no.
Well, the thing is, I'm going to educate you here.
All right. But
it's not... And just like a lot of other things in life... If you have money, it's not as bad as it needs to be.
Interesting.
So, a couple weeks ago, actually right after we last spoke, because it literally happened pretty much right after that, I go home and my wife for a while and my daughter were both...
Scratchy, scratchy, itchy, itchy, scratchy, scratch.
And if you can't see this...
Yeah. Well, there we go.
I'm
trying
to scratch, but I don't have any hair, so you can't really hear it.
Right.
They were getting the itches.
No.
And we're looking around going, what's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? And for a while, like, my or just, you know, first stage of life is always denial, right? You didn't want to think what it was. We thought it was everything else. Right. And then all of a sudden, because I had no symptoms. I wasn't itchy at all. Everybody else was itchy. Okay. Finally, my wife, the uku light goes on. Ding. Wow. And we start digging around, and there you go. By golly, it was ukus.
Oh, dude.
Head lice.
So, you know, and that's the thing. But did we find out where it originated from?
No, because there wasn't an outbreak at school. There weren't other people.
They're not going to tell you that.
The parents that screwed up and aren't honest, right? Because as soon as we found out, we were telling Kumu at school, like, yo, we're not coming. We're dealing with this. And they're like, thank you. Don't come. Stay the F away. Like,
parent of the year, right?
Yeah, now. But I mean, not even parent of the year. It's called being responsible. Doing the right thing, right? As soon as we knew what was going on, we let other people know what was going on. But to answer your question, it either came from school or, and it's a stretch, but it happens. We were out at the movies as a family.
Totally doable. Totally doable because my kids got. Remember, they got the yuckies at Chucky.
Exactly. So it's a stretch, but it's not out of the realm of possibility. We were at the movies together. We all went as a family, went and saw a movie, and we're all rolling around. Put your head on the seats. I didn't feel anything, right? But my point is, when we found out that they had bugs, we go. There are actually services now. You can pay money and be gotten rid of your ukus in one treatment.
Not
guaranteed.
Wow. That's an awesome service.
And it's only $250.
Where's the buzzer?
Exactly.
Where's the buzzer?
Wait.
Oh, 250 script.
Anyways, but some people would say that's money well spent because you get a little card that says you are guaranteed to be free of ukus.
Oh, I thought it was going to be like you get a punch card, like, you're done. Like the fit service
is
free.
No, you're good. And they give you a 30-day
uku back guarantee.
Yeah. If it turns out you get more ukus, come back. We're going to do them again.
See, you know that you got a daughter. Big hair.
Well, the thing is, my wife, my daughter, they go in there, they sit down, they go through it, and they go, yep, you guys got them.
Right off the bat, bang.
Yeah, well, it was there. Oh. And they're like, you ready to spend money? And I was like, okay, cool. And they go, okay, dad, come sit down. Because in order to get the money back guarantee, like, come get more treatment, the whole household's got to
go.
Clear. Yeah.
Got you.
So I sit down, and they start going through my lovely locks of manly man hair with my seven head. And they go, oh, brother, you get bugs back. And I was like, I never felt
nothing. Wait a minute, you sure it's not like going to the dealership and it's like, hey, why don't we just change out your washer fluid and your hair filter?
It's not because they put this crap in your hair, and then they comb it, and then they put it on a napkin, and then they go, hey, look, you see that thing wiggling right there? That was in your head. Yeah. So they can show you there's actual proof. And I'm not arguing that. There were bugs in my hair. But my thing was, I look at the girl, I was like, so if I go down to Supercuts, and she's like, yep. And I was like, yep. And they were like, yup. And I was like, get in.
Yeah, I ain't dropping no $250 on my dome.
Yeah, right? 20 minutes and $20 later.
And I got to say, dude, when you did post that picture, I was like, my man,
you
look good. I was like, welcome to the club, dog.
Jay Blaze is smacking.
You look good. I like it. But now we got like, what, two-week growth, and it still looks good.
Two-week growth. The beautiful thing is I haven't done this, what is this, 2019. I haven't done this in 25 years.
Not.
Since high school.
Holy smoke. You know what? Now thinking of it, I don't think I've ever seen you without facial hair.
The beard has always been here since then. I think I've shaved it off maybe once in 25 years.
Wow. Well, what happens if there was the bugs inside the beard?
Well, I mean, it's come close. I've come close. And so my daughter keeps saying, Dad, shave it. Dad, shave it. And right now, honestly, it's all kind of one length.
No, I was going to say, it's almost matchy-match.
Right now, it's kind of like I could get the clippers and just go, and I'd be good.
You know, I think
I don't need any shampoo for my head.
I think we got to put up a poll on our two high dads.
Wore it better?
Well, I know you definitely wore it better. That's for sure. I look like,
but you've got like,
I look
only,
like
you've only got like a 5.5 head. I've got like a 9 head.
No,
bro, look at this. That's like 9.
No, but 9. Yours is. You
what
have,
is? That's it. Can you see that? I'm slapping a 5 on shape, my forehead. That's at least a 6 head.
Your shape of your head was a lot better looking like mine. Yours
thank,
is like
thank
stone
my
cold.
Mom for making it easy.
You're
like
stone cold, and I look like Mel Cabana.
What? What? What?
Is this a wrestling reference?
What?
Wrestling?
What?
Oh, man, I got to tell you a wrestling story, too.
What's that?
No, it's... My kids are all into wrestling now, so we're watching Friday SmackDown.
But you can't watch Friday SmackDown on Disney Plus.
I know, but I went half an hour on Friday SmackDown, and I'm waiting for a match. They talk too much.
Oh, it's so much soap opera now.
It's talk too much, and the first match was a chick fight.
I watched it when they first launched, and they came over, and they made the big rah-rah-rah-rah, and I watched it, and I was like, this is not even what I remember.
No, it's not. It was like the first 45 minutes,
and
one match.
WWE wasn't WWF. Like, it wasn't the wrestling that we grew up with, but WWE itself has changed.
Yeah, totally. So I had to go refresh their memory about our days wrestling. So,
well, what I'm trying to do is figure out if I can get some time to watch The Mandalorian. Have you watched that yet?
I haven't got a chance. The buzz is out there. I'm telling myself.
Two words. What? Baby Yoda.
Baby Yoda. Okay.
You haven't seen that yet?
No, I haven't seen none of it yet.
There's like a Baby Yoda in the show. I haven't watched an episode. I apologize.
Do I have to know Star Wars to get the
Apparently
Mandalorian?
Apparently not.
Okay, so that's what I was worried about. Like,
all you have to do is know what Star Wars is.
The premise.
If you understand who that dude is supposed to be.
Some kind of...
You know who Han Solo was?
I know.
Is it Han
of
Solo?
Him?
No, Boba
Luke.
Fett. Boba Fett.
Oh, Hired Killer.
Yes.
Hired.
You know who Boba Fett was?
Yeah, I remember the face.
Okay, if you know that dude, then
that's
you're on
brother.
The right path.
Okay, interesting. So I'm taking you took the dip. And
no.
You, no.
I haven't had time. I've been too busy. I've been doing other things. But
I
want to watch it. I just haven't had the opportunity.
Did you sign up for the free trial?
I've been lucky. My wife signed up not for Star Wars, but for Disney, because we have a 4-year-old, and we previously had Hulu, and now apparently Hulu, ESPN Plus,
yes,
and
Disney Plus. I heard it's
for like a dollar more or something.
What?
That's
but you already have Hulu. That's what it is.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Like the plan we had, it's only like a dollar more than the plan we had. So my wife was like, "Let's do it," and I was like, "Yes, please. You're great, fantastic. Go for it."
So yeah, so it's $7 just for Disney Plus, and then if you want to bundle it up, it's $13 if you don't have a previous account or whatever.
Is it?
Yeah. So like if you're like just Johnny New, it's like $7 for just Disney Plus, and if you want to bundle the Hulu and the ESPN Plus, it's like $13. So
but
I'm thinking
that, but it's Hulu that and.
Yeah, all three. So I'm actually thinking about that because ESPN Plus shows a lot of
fights,
other stuff that you kind of get out.
Anything and everything, and you can watch a lot of the stuff that is not even on demand on normally on your TV.
Right. So I'm thinking about taking the plunge. I mean,
are you going to cut the cord?
Well, I'm definitely not going to cut the cord. That's for sure. Because I want my OC16.
I was going to say, if you don't cut the cord, then you can't watch
local programming.
UH football on pay per view.
That'll be a no. Unless somehow I do some illegal Eagle action.
Speaking of UH football, that you're not watching on pay-per-view.
You know me, just anti-UH. I cannot believe it. I cannot believe those guys are playing for the Mountain West Conference.
Ring that bell.
Ring that bell. Pacific Division Championship this Saturday against San Diego State.
I can believe it.
What are we talking about? We stunk. We stunk out loud like three weeks ago. I buried them.
Is the Mountain West Conference the best conference in the land?
No. It's like the, you know.
That is why I'm not surprised.
It's unbelievable. But, you know, Rolo, I did this whole thing about the two quarterback things. I was like, one week you're going to start Cole. The next week he stinks. And then you're going to put in Shevin. Shevin comes out. He throws 50 billion interceptions. Pull him out. He's going to win. I don't know how it's going. I have no idea who Rolo's going to start this week for the championship game. No idea.
I think I know.
Does it rhyme with bowl?
I think it rhymes with howler.
Really?
No way.
You think he's gonna start Ocean from
yes
really
yes because
he's the local
boy is gonna come in and save the day.
Oh, is that the angle?
That's
we're
how it works.
Oh, Rolo's next level. Hawaii is a 1.5-point favorite at home.
You think so?
I know so.
What do you think it's gonna
Sports
be by
uncle.
Game time?
Oh, I have no idea. But they're saying like a couple guys are injured on San Diego State, but. I mean, who would have thought, bro? I have no idea. So I guess, you know, I guess congratulations out to UH, man. I mean,
hey,
if they beat them.
Positive thinking, bro. Go Bows.
Go Bows.
Not and, mad about that, brah.
Brah.
What blows my mind and what's like you never thought about, though, was Brett Atua, your cousin and mine, supposed to get us the payout.
Everybody was going to get a cut.
Now his name is Tua Jackson.
Tua Jackson.
What happened?
You know what? It's so as a lot of people probably know by now, he is done. Done chained for the season.
Okay, I was going to say, because they expect him to make a full recovery.
I can make a full recovery from the sickness. It doesn't mean I'm any good.
Did Bo Jackson make a full recovery when he was injured that first time?
Nope.
Okay, so that's the difference between what they're trying to compare him.
But that's what they were saying. It's like the Bo Jackson injury.
That's what they were saying, but they're also saying Tua's going to make a full recovery. So who do you believe?
I don't know. You don't say Bo Jackson and go back on Bo Jackson.
Did he make a full recovery? When my point is, back then,
yeah, that was in like 19, 30 whatever, years ago.
Okay. When he got injured, did doctors, when they treated him, say, Bo, you're going to make a full recovery?
I don't believe so. I don't. Actually, you know what? I cannot say I know.
See, I don't know either. That's my question.
Isn't it like it was a degenerative thing where it slowly got worse and worse and worse?
I think the injury was degenerative. But when he was injured, you could still come back to 100%. You see, it's a fine line, but do you see the distinction I'm trying to make? Is like they might have told Bo, you're going to be just fine. You're going to make a full recovery. You're going to be normal and walk like a normal human being.
So you think they're feeding him soup?
Will you ever play?
Go back to how he was before.
That's what I'm saying.
And you know what the thing is like now, is he even going to come out of school? Because he's only a junior. I don't know what is going
to
happen.
And the flip side of that is, would you want to go back and play for a coach that sent you in?
Dude, Nick Saban looked like sorry, like super sorry about like guilt. Like when I take my kids' toys away for no reason.
He just cost $2 million of dollars if he doesn't go to the NFL. And you know this.
Man. But you know, did you actually see the injury? It looked bad. You get flopped down by two guys, and then you break your face.
Well, and the thing was, he gets up, and they had to put it back in, right?
Dude, so I'm like,
at first, he's hobbling around because it was dislocated there on the field.
Oh.
They reset it. They stuck it back in right there on the field.
Yeah, and they're like, hey, how don't you get on this hard back of this cushion?
And then he takes a helicopter ride.
I was like, get this guy a pillow or something. Get this guy some kind of cushion. But I don't know what's gonna happen. And
Do you think he's gonna be back, NFL or not?
I think he's still good. It definitely hurt his draft stock. He did lose a lot of money. So I say he enters the draft, but he will not play. And you know what that means? He's gonna get drafted later, which means he's gonna go to the Patriots. He's gonna go to the Patriots, and that's gonna make me sick. Sick, because the Patriots always win and they're a bunch of cheaters.
Something with that will not make you sick, though, is Poke, Foodland.
So,
I like poke from Foodland. Do you like poke from Foodland?
I love poke from Foodland. I love Foodland is my number one. I gotta say, the people gonna hate,
bruh.
But Foodland
beyond poke, that's the thing. Because you're West Side of Rida, and I get that. But I'm a townie. And when they brought Foodland Farms from Hawaii Kai, where neither of us go, to town, and they opened Foodland Farms at Ala Moana.
Yep.
Yeah, right? It introduced me to a whole new world of hot bar goods.
Ready to eat
nice things that you could sit there and just buy and take home and eat in the parking lot.
Did they make new poke?
Not just poke. They got a hot bar. They've got take-home items. They've got like
because you went to the grand opening in Pearl City.
Not just in Pearl City. We're not even there yet. We're talking about Ala Moana.
Oh, okay.
Just when they had Ala Moana, it was like, oh, brah, new stuff. And now, since you just blew the load before we could even get to it, yes, they're in Pearl City. It should be. Pearl City!
So tell me about it. I went into the Pearl City. Is it exactly the same concept?
It's just the beautiful thing is everyone is supposed to now have their own personality. So Foodland Farms Pearl City has a bunch of unique offerings that you can't get.
Are you serious? So now I gotta go to Ala Moana and check in there.
Well, but back to your poke question, since you blew your load real fast,
it has been
go back to Pearl City and go check out the poke case, because they get different stuff than any other Foodland. any other food line.
I was blown away by how much stuff was inside there, because they had the okazu, then they had the chicken, the burrito, a pizza, a sandwich, the hot plate scoop part, and then
and a bar.
And the best part was the bar. That bar was packed.
And that bar serves food. The thing was, when they open, I honestly, you've been there when they're open, so you can speak more to what it's like when it's open, because I only got to go to a preview and I got to check it out. But at the same time, when I was walking out of that preview, I was telling one of my friends that was there, I was like, if people can just get past the stigma of going to a supermarket to hang out, bruh, that's one of the best bars on that side of the island.
Really? Interesting. Coming
from
you?
Food and drink. Food and drink. The quality of the food and drink at the prices that you're paying. If you can get past hanging out at the supermarket, go.
Interesting.
Think about what else is out in that part of town.
Shaking.
That's what I'm saying. And I'm not saying it's bad. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's different.
So I took the kids, the whole family went inside there. And yeah. I was like,
that's the beauty of it.
There was no room at that bar. So the bar's like an island.
You go, boys, go with your mom. Go shopping with your mom.
Here's $5. Go find your cereal. Meet me back over here. So now the debate is, should I drink before I shop, or should I shop and then drink? That's the deal. That's the conundrum.
If you drink before you shop, then you'll spend more money.
Touche. That's when they got me at the poke.
Because then you start walking around. Yeah, that's because you start walking around. You're like, I need that.
But it's very interesting because they got all of that stuff inside. It's almost like a Whole Foods Hawaiian style.
That's the point.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what Foodland Farms is supposed to be. If there's Whole Foods and that's whole paycheck, Foodland Farms is supposed to be, well, we local style, but we still gonna take your money.
So the bar has their own menu? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
I haven't gone to the bar yet.
They've got their own specialty menu with their own items that are served only at Pearl City. Plus, they've got a number of specialty cocktails that you can only get at Pearl City. So you can get food and drink that you can't get anywhere else.
That
you and I don't know if we're going to take the full setup, but I think you and I could go low pro incognito and do the show from
aisle five.
Yeah.
Aisle
no, five. No, it'd be more like Barstool 5 and 6. But we could post up at the bar.
Don't twist my arm, my man. Don't twist my arm.
Yeah, and so then we can meet halfway.
There we go.
We're going to Pearl City.
So I guess I can tell the next time I tell the wife that we need something, I'll be like, I'm going to go to Foodland Farms.
Bro, I didn't even think of that. And it shows where my brain is, because I'm not even thinking of that. But yes, you are right. You could sit there and say, I've got to go do my shopping
after this beer.
And guess what happens?
4 hours later, oh yeah, hon, what do we need? Eggs. You come home with milk or something like that. Like cottage cheese.
No, you come home with a half-eaten bag of potato chips.
Why is this chicken half-bitten?
Babe, you want some?
I sent you there for milk. You come home with...
I got this bento.
Oh, that is... You think...
You know what would save your life, though? You just bring home a pint of ice cream.
Ooh, it sounds like you did it before.
Know what I mean? Like, what you said? What you wanted? Look, squirrel, ice cream.
Oh, man.
Problem solved.
But I need to buy the ice cream after. Don't buy it before. So
you got to buy it on the way out.
On the way out. Okay, makes sense.
Other than... then you have like a sauce for your pancakes in the morning.
It's all runny. What's going on, Dad? Oh, brah.
So speaking of nothing.
Actually, that's a hard transition there, my man.
That's going to be a hard transition, because right now we are going to take a quick break, but we're coming back with a very special guest.
Very special guest, AJ Mendoza from Day by Day Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, BJJ. He's going to talk story with us coming up right after this. Mr. Shots!
This one's called Some Lovin'. It's the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. Stick around. Another sleepless night of tossing and turning. What am I to do when you leave my side, but the flies start returning? All I want is you. Stuck up in the fairy tale, a never-ending story, and it's you that's by my side.
There's something's going down tonight. I feel it in my body. It's in the atmosphere. Baby, hold on tight. You know it's been a long day. My feet, they've gone weary. I need someone to hold me tight, yeah. And now you've got someone that is lively of my day. Lord knows I'm in need down some loving, yeah. I'm in need of some loving tonight. I'm in need. Get down to the business. She not have the time for mess around with this ish. Feels like I'm coming down with a sickness. And I don't see if love is the cure. I'm in need of some love, yeah, and some love, baby. Tonight I'm in need of some love.
I want your love.
Hawaii Dad.
Yeah. And you know what? I am excited because we got a special guest on the line. He is a practitioner, he is a business owner, and he is one hell of a dad, the owner of Day by Day Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Ladies and gentlemen, we got AJ Mendoza on the line.
What's up, boys? Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
All right. No problem. Thank you for making some time to hang out with us. I know you got one of the kids hanging out with you.
You know what I want to say?
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing. BJJ.
Oh, whatever. Did you do what? We should do our bell. There we go. We got the bell working.
I just love that.
That is awesome. AJ, again, thanks for joining us, my man. First off, let's talk about the business that you're in. Let's talk about Day by Day Jiu-Jitsu.
Okay, so back in 2013, my brother and I co-founded Day by Day Jiu-Jitsu, which is basically a jiu-jitsu lifestyle brand. Our slogan is the path to black belt. So it's kind of like, you know, day by day you go and you train, you get a little better every day, and then one day you'll get your black belt. And that's the slogan, that's the concept, and that's what connects with the people. And I think that's why we've had the little bit of success that we've had.
And I think you can use that, I mean, not just in jiu-jitsu, you can talk about just everyday life, like just waking up in the morning. Yes. Just take it day by day.
Yes, sir. Jiu-jitsu and life. So, you know, even in our social media posts and stuff like that, it all of this, that's why we do it. It relates to life. It makes us better at life.
So you started this back in, I mean, you just didn't start rolling around and making the clothing brand in 2013. This started way before that though, right?
Yeah, I started doing jiu-jitsu in, at an official academy in 2006.
2006, but that wasn't local though. That was, you're born and raised in San Diego, right?
I was born in, I grew up in San Diego, and then I trained a little bit in San Diego before I moved to Hawaii in 2003, but it wasn't really official training. It was more just more like freestyle grappling in one of my friends' garages. That they grew up wrestling in high school, so we watched the UFC videos back then and just tried to copy them in the wrestling mats that they had in the garage.
So AJ, but, when you got out to Hawaii though, that was still when MMA was doing pretty well out here in the islands, right? Did you ever go and watch fights at the Blaisdell when you first got out here to Hawaii back then?
Oh yeah, I went to a couple of the Rumble of the Rocks. Mm-hmm. It was during those days where fighting was a little bit more scarier and jiu-jitsu was not as inviting as it is now. The people starting now are pretty lucky.
Did that still inspire you to go enroll, or did it kind of make you look around and be like, oh wow, what's going on out here in Hawaii? Like it's a little bit different than where I'm from.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I moved out here in 2003, but then I didn't actually get into an academy, a jiu-jitsu academy, until 2006. So okay. There was a three-year process of maybe,
feeling it
being
out.
A little feeling it out, being intimidated. It took a lot back then to actually, walk through an academy door and say, hey, I want to train with you guys.
Signing up at a academy, it's not like signing up your kids for gymnastics or something like that. It's a little bit, you kind of just show up and you're like, hey, pay, your fee and you're in. That's not how it works though, right?
Some places.
Yeah, maybe now.
Some
maybe
places.
Now. You could look at it like a business service. You schedule your appointment, let them know what day you're going to come. They give you the introduction or whatnot. A lot of places are really professional with, making it a service now. It's a little bit more mainstream. But back then, it was, it was a little bit more old school where, it was more...
You get invited in.
Well, maybe not invited, you had to connect with a school if they were going to ask you to, or if they were going to accept you and go and start rolling with them, right?
Yeah. It would be great if you knew. That's why I finally got in, because I had a friend of a friend that said, hey, I'll take you with me to the academy and then we could go sign you up. If I didn't know him, I don't know how it would have gone down, me trying to sign up at a place. And then even when you do sign up and put on the gi and enter the mat for the first time, it was pretty intimidating too, because all the students kind of just, they're like, oh well, there's the next new guy. So
fresh meat. I was just gonna say that.
yeah
come bro, we go roll.
I want dibs on the new guy. So full disclosure, I know AJ from, when did we first meet? Got a long time, but we used to work at an insurance company.
So was it BBJJJ before Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah, that you could say that. And ever since I knew you, the bell's working. So ever since I knew you, you always was into rolling around. I remember back in the day, but the company, talk about the day-by-day company as far as growing it. That didn't start going until... after I left, right?
Yeah, so that, I started in 2006, training jiu-jitsu at the academy. And then I started Day by Day, the brand, the business, in 2013. So by then, I was already a brown belt. So I went from white belt to blue belt to purple belt to brown belt. And then that's when it was time to, that's when I basically put the business plan together and the brand together and launched it.
So you felt that brown belt, that's a good time to jump in, because you're not going to jump in when you're first starting, right? Like, hey, I just started rolling.
No.
You don't want to do that.
I think for jiu-jitsu, it's if you're going to start selling or doing any kind of business in jiu-jitsu, it's one of those things where you got to have the street cred. You can't be a white belt trying to sell stuff to, blue belts and purple belts, guys that are higher ranked than you, because they're gonna look at you.
It's like, who's this fool?
This is the best type of gear or type of equipment for me, for me and what we're doing. So
AJ, right now you're a brown belt right now.
No, I'm a black belt.
You're a black belt now. When did you get your black belt?
I got my black belt in 2016.
Oh, okay. So again, that lends to the credibility thing. It's like, not only are you a black belt, but you've had your belt for a minute. It's not like you've just got it.
Yeah, he's got receipts.
Paid a few dues.
Exactly.
So I heard a story about your first product that you sold. It wasn't a T-shirt. It wasn't shorts. It wasn't hats. It was slippers. Tell us about that.
Okay, because ultimately I wanted to get into the gi game or the kimono game. That's the actual like jiu-jitsu uniform that you see everyone wearing. You know, when they're training, it's the traditional, you know, uniform or kimono or whatnot.
And they cost a lot of money.
Yes, yes.
It's a business. I mean, arguably, business.
Because looking at it, it is a pretty technical piece of equipment. Like, I wouldn't, you know, we sell apparel and then we sell, you know, like technical equipment, yep, and gear. So yep, obviously that's a technical, you know, technical gear where like a t-shirt is apparel. But knowing if day by day was going to enter the game doing gis out of the gate, then we were going to be competing with the big dogs right away, as you know, like the big companies.
And quality matters when you're sitting there jumping into the ring with the big dogs.
Yes, yes. So, and it would be hard to kind of grow it organically without rushing. Because if you go into the gi game, you kind of got to go all in. You're just rushing into the game. You know, got to put a lot of money into it too. Because the gi, like you said, the gi sell for expensive. So it's a solid cost to get that part of the business going.
It's an investment too. On the other side, on the customer side, they're spending money. They're making an investment and believing in your brand if they're going to sit there and spend that money with you.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. That's, you know, the quality and the craftsmanship and the fit is all major factors in people, you know, figuring out what gi they're gonna buy.
But the slippers, though, I mean, like your slippers, it's not like just walking into Long's and getting a pair of locals, though. What was the idea behind the slippers? I'm just interested because I never heard of somebody just selling off the bat selling slippers.
To start.
Okay. So here's the story. My first job when I was young, I worked at Vans shoe store in the mall. So I had a lot of experience with Vans shoes and slippers and looking at people and knowing their shoe size, like without, you know.
What a nerd.
Right, you need socks. You need socks. You need to buy some socks with that.
So then, that's the Vans upsell.
Business, bro.
Businessman.
But then I basically, there was really no one doing slippers in the game yet. So I was gonna let people know that, you know, let the audience know that slippers were a essential piece for jiu-jitsu practitioners, because you needed something that was easy to take on and off when going on and off the mat, basically.
Interesting.
Because it was kind of like my pet peeve when I would see people wear shoes on the mat, they would wear nice shoes, take them off on the, you know, mat side, and then they would just get off the mat and like crumple their backs of the nice shoes, and they're just ruining their nice shoes. I was like, man,
should have had some hush poppies, bro. What's going on?
Yeah, we gotta be wearing slippers. And also, it was hygiene friendly, because you don't want anyone, you know, walking to the bathroom bare feet and then walking back onto the mat bare feet.
Yeesh. So that was the start. Was with those slippers.
That's a good start.
All right. Yeah. Let me ask you this, AJ. So with the apparel company, but it's also about the gi. Do you do kids sizes? Because you are a dad. You have how many kids?
I have two girls, two daughters.
Do they roll? Do they get out there and strap it on and show people who's boss?
Not yet, because my oldest one just turned 5, and then my youngest one is 2. So
she's jumping off the couch, you know, flying elbows.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, we do wrestle in the, you know, we do wrestle and roll around in the living room, but she hasn't started taking the kids class at the academy yet.
That was what I wanted to ask you about. As a black belt, you would know this because you've trained, you've gone the whole way. At what age is it the proper age to take your kids and say, hey, boy, or hey, honey girl, it's time?
If they're accepting and you could convince them, you could take them as young as they started accepting students at 4 or 5, most programs. But then if you have to force them, I've had this conversation with a lot of my friends too. We don't want to force them too early, but let's say they turn 7 or maybe 8 and they still haven't wanted to go at that time, you know, maybe when my daughter's seven, if she still hasn't wanted to go willingly, then I'll make it mandatory. And then she has to go.
But I think it's like,
because
she's got to learn. At some point, she got to learn how to protect herself to some extent, right? As a female.
Because for the kids, it's, you know, it gives them the self-confidence and kind of like bully-proofing them for when they go to school.
There you go.
So they know how to defend themselves. You know?
I figured they'll take it on by osmosis, right? Like, I mean, if we go to the baseball field, you know, growing up.
Slapping your sons in the back of the head is not going to help them, like, get ready to go in.
That's an osmosis.
No, that's not how it works.
Osmosis.
Hey, boy.
Hey, but you know what? AJ's wife, she got some hands, too. I met Margo. If anything, Margo can teach them the ones and the twos.
She can put them on you.
She can give them the lefts and the rights, right? Hope she's not going to listen to this one. She's going to give me cracks, Margo.
She probably will. That's the Big Island, style, Big Island style.
FBI, baby. Yeesh. FBI. Yeah. But AJ, you do see your kids as an inspiration, both in your business, but also what you do when you put on the gi, right?
Yes. I mean, because at the end of the day, we go train every day to, you know, challenge ourselves and face adversity and you know, solve problems, and that's something, and never give up, and that's something that, those are life lessons that, you know, need to be taught to these kids as well. Like, I feel like all these kids that are training jiu-jitsu now, it's so cool to see them, you know, like the kid population of jiu-jitsu growing. You know, these kids, all of them aren't going to be pros, professionals at jiu-jitsu or open up academies, but they're all going to be, you know, good and successful at life.
Let me ask,
kids are learning life lessons very early.
I have a question about that, though, because some of these kids, they might like look at you and go, yeah, uncle, I'm a good boy. But then puberty hits. And then all of a sudden things change. Do you ever find like some of these kids, they come and they train and then they go and they use the force for the dark side?
Wrong reasons.
Yeah. Like, are they going and causing trouble, getting into trouble when they're at school?
I have. And then they come back and then they have to come back and then they get disciplined and then they learn. And then and then most of them, you know, end up turning it around and making it positive.
And that's good.
That's what always worries me, though. It's like sometimes at a certain age, some kids will be like, you know what, F this. And then they go and then I'm going to use what I just went learn. I'm going to go rob people. I'm going to mug kids.
Yeah, they go to school and acting ton in front of everybody.
Exactly.
That's what we don't
do.
Exactly.
I think in any martial art, there's always going to be a couple bad apples.
Yep.
But
bro, look at Karate Kid from back in the day. Come on.
Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
Sweep the leg.
Man, that's classic.
But there's always going to be, like you said, a bad apple. There's always going to be somebody that's going to take it and use it for the wrong reasons, right?
Yeah. So, but that's not going to stop. You know, that can't stop us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone that's training jiu-jitsu, that can't stop us from making all these other kids good, right?
Well, and if you're a bad boy, you don't get to do fun things like go and compete.
Yeah, you get to duck walk around the mat for an hour.
Yeah, but the ones that perform are the ones who get to compete. Like this weekend at
Big Show at the convention center, my man. You're going to be there. This is actually the second time this promotion has come through the islands. I remember, maybe 6 months ago, the first time they came through. Talk about it.
Yeah, February 2019, they did their 100th anniversary show in Hawaii. So they wanted to do the first time in Hawaii as their 100th show and make it a big show. So that was in February. And then they're coming back now.
So this Fight to Win promotion, I've never, locally, the first time I've seen you post about it, I was running, what was this? But, I mean, 100 anniversary.
Are they regional or national? Is it a regional promotion or national promotion?
They're national. They go all over the U.S.
Right.
Yeah.
So how did you do in the first match? What was it called? A match? A tournament?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I'll
so Howley, you don't even know your Howley just.
So Barney.
So I'll kind of break it down for you guys. Most of the jiu-jitsu tournaments.
Jay doesn't need. Just break it down for me.
Jason got it. You're important enough.
Okay.
But when we go have our traditional tournaments, we're usually, it's not too spectator friendly. There's usually like a couple mats, maybe, you know, depending how big the tournament is, but there's multiple mats and multiple fights going on at the same time. So the unique concept about Fight to Win is it's just one big mat, one big stage with, you know, professional lights and production and sound system. And it's basically just like 40 invite only grappling matches, you know, jiu-jitsu matches. And they're all, you know, these matches were confirmed, you know, from weeks ahead. And then it's just one match for each person. So you just go out there once and you have one fight. So it's kind of like they call it like the 40 super fight.
Local people who grew up around wrestling, they may realize mm-hmm. that like before, BJJ used to be like wrestling tournaments. You'd go and it'd be like you go to a high school wrestling tournament. So much action, everywhere. Everything going on. And if you weren't tuned in, if you didn't know what was happening, you'd be like, huh, what, huh? This is more like MMA, where it's like there's matchmaking going on, the and show. You have a show, and it's like a, you know, a combination of, you know, UFC and WWE, where there's a little bit more showmanship, but there's also the sport, yeah. And there's the matchmaking aspect to it. That's kind of the difference, where now a Fight to Win, they're coming out and they're making it more of a spectacle than just a tournament, right?
You know your stuff, Jason. You
yeah, know your stuff. I've been around the block.
Even with the background talking about the wrestling, I'm impressed.
There you go. But so but it's not about me. It's about you, because this weekend you're going to get in there and you're going to stand next to somebody and you're going to look them in the eye and say, come get some, baby. That's what's happening, right?
Yes, sir. That's what's going down.
All right. So talk about your opponent.
Why are you getting all fightless? It's like, wait, are you fighting? What's
going on? I'm sweating right now like I'm fighting. So talk about your opponent, AJ. Who's this dude? Who's this schlump that you're gonna go take care?
So real quick, all even just to make it,
you gotta
on
have
the,
talent.
On the fight card,
you gotta
it,
have
it,
talent.
It's the elite.
So watch your mouth, Juss. Watch your mouth.
I'm sorry, I'm cashing checks.
Have some respect, man. This guy gonna come to the podcast. He gonna come to my house at Studio Klee one time and be like, "Yeah, looking for that guy Justin. I heard he was talking about me."
Doesn't live here.
He's gonna be looking for you Saturday night. But there's an application process, so everyone has to apply to even get on. So anyone that gets selected and gets a match, you're already the elite just for getting on there because of the application process. A lot of people applied and don't get a match.
Did you know who your opponent was? Like when they said, "Hey, here's who you're getting." Did you know that? What is it? Gershon? Gershon? How do you pronounce his name?
I think Gershon.
Gershon. Okay.
I heard. Yeah, we have some mutual friends, and they call him Gershon.
Gershon.
But
Gershon. All right.
I didn't know him, so that's actually the part that made it.
Is that
very
worrisome? That's kind of worrisome that you've never heard of a dude before.
No. Well, because I usually know of the guys that I have to play, that I have to compete against, because I've either competed against them before or at these big tournaments, these major tournaments that we go to, like the Pan Ams and the World Master. We kind of, sometimes we run into the same guys, you know, out there. So that's why when they gave me Gershon, the matchup with Gershon, and I didn't know too much about him, that I was actually happy, because, you know, then I could play someone new and excited with the challenge.
That's a good way to look at it, like glass half full instead of who the F is this guy?
Are you watching all his, you know, studying his moves? And I mean, that might be a good thing, right?
I do like to do a little bit study of him, but then at the same time, I don't like to
overthink
too much, because then if you're worrying about your opponent more than you're worrying about yourself, then
you're not fighting
your
fight.
He's already in your head. You're not fighting your fight. You're not playing your game. So I like to know a little, you know, there's a bunch of videos on him on the internet and the Flow Grappling database that kind of like live streams a lot of the jiu-jitsu fights. So, mm-hmm. you know, I was able to check out a couple fights, but I didn't want to spend too much time studying him, because I should be worrying about myself, you know, right. refining my game right. for the match or whatnot.
Most fighters will visualize the way a matchup is going to go. When you step into the... When you get ready this weekend, you get in there, how do you see things going? Is it I'm sure you visualized it. What do you see happening?
I'm calling Wayne.
Well, that's an easy way to put it. I'm looking for a little bit more description than that.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Well,
you're just gonna walk in, kick his ass, and walk out. Thank you, Stone Cold AJ Mendoza.
There's a lot of strategy.
What?
I don't want to bore the crowd and put everyone to bed. But my strong points are gonna be my quickness and you know, having good technique and being able to pull the trigger fast on.
Well, let's not give away the whole game plan. That's talking about his strengths.
And if he doesn't know that walking in, then something's wrong with him. He hasn't prepared.
I'm sure he's going to listen to this podcast before the match and he'd be like, there it is. They got him.
I'm sitting here trying to make WWE jokes and you guys sitting here and he's derailing my serious question. Oh, man. So what? But it's just win, baby.
I have some real strong positions that I like to get the fight into, and if I could get into those fights, I think I could, you know, maybe catch him with a mistake and capitalize on that. And I like to, I'm kind of known for taking the guy's back and then choking the guy out from the back.
I was going to say, because submission. The point of the game, the reason why we play the game is to submit this motherfucker. Right? Like that's the best feeling, right? Is to feel the tap.
Yeah.
No other feeling like that.
That's the ultimate win.
And then the crowd going just absolutely nuts. Just going crazy.
Yeah. Like last time it was nuts. Like I did it. Like Hawaii brought it. Nice. You know, the Hawaii fans brought the fire in February. And I think that's why they came back so fast.
Because Hawaii loved
jiu-jitsu. Like it proved it, you know, that place was packed. There were thousands of people in the convention center.
They did.
You know,
all forms of mixed martial arts. Hawaii has been a long supporter of all forms of mixed martial arts. Getting back to your family though, the girls, do they get to come and watch you compete?
You know what, last time they didn't because my folks were in town, so they just babysat. But my folks aren't in town this time, so yeah, my wife's gonna troop it and bring them.
Hey, there we go. We got the corner crew in the corner.
Pressure? No pressure. I would say that's a little bit of pressure because daddy gotta perform now. If daddy don't come out with a win, you don't want to look over getting choked out. Looking at your daughter's going. Ah!
Yeah, they're like crying while you're getting.
That's okay. My kids cry when I try to run down first base. They're like, Dad, why are you going so slow? And hook it.
You're gonna hurt yourself.
Dad, stop running.
Dad, don't do it.
But I think even with that worst scenario, the champ mindset that kind of martial arts and jiu-jitsu teaches you, you know, even if you do get choked out, you gotta come, you back. Know, like Bruce Lee quote, you know, fall 7 times, get up 8 times.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
You got to come back no matter what it is.
Learning experience for the girls. But they want to see Dad win. They want to see Superman come out and stand there and be like...
Hand raised.
Yeah. So even when I go compete in the mainland at those major tournaments I was talking about earlier, they watch the live stream at home on the computer and... you know, watch me, you know, basically watch it on the screen. But then I think this will be the first time both of them came to watch it live.
I was going to say, a little bit different, and we all know this. Again, I'm going to pull out the WWE reference. It was different watching it on TV, and then the first time you go to the Blaisdell and you see brother jump off the top rope and drop the elbow. Like, real life is a little bit different. Bringing the girls in to watch you get in there and do it right in front of them. It's gonna be a little bit different, just a little bit. I think.
I got a question, AJ. You know when you're actually in the zone and you're in the match, how much of the actual crowd can you hear?
Hey, good question.
I got good questions too, man.
It's kind of zoned out. It's more just like background, and then I could usually hear sometimes what? My
your wife going. Ah!
You know what? I can hear my wife.
That's usually when I see stuff like that. But now I know that AJ can't hear me. I'm just going to yell extra louder now.
Well, and that's why Fight to Win is kind of, there's more yelling and screaming because there's you know, it's more of a show. They sell drinks at the event.
Oh,
you know,
here we go.
There's some drunk people in the crowd.
Justin.
Yeah. Cut you off mid-match.
Yeah, you would do good there, Jeff.
Well, the fighting part or the cheering? I don't know about the fighting part. I think I might get escorted out.
I was talking about the cheering part.
Oh, sure. Well, I am pretty loud. You know me. I am pretty loud. So, again, that's this Saturday, Convention Center, Fight to Win, 132. You, Gershon, one-on-one. We hope you win. And, I mean, good luck. Good luck.
Thank you. Thank you.
Actually, yeah, I got
it's a big challenge.
I got one more question before you go. Now, you are a proud San Diego State Aztec alum.
Wow.
This weekend, UH versus San Diego State.
Who you got, dog?
I just saw that.
Who you got? And this actually has some meaning. There's actually a meaning to this game.
You're right.
Who do you got, my man?
Isn't San Diego State playing to clinch the Mountain West?
Whoever wins takes the division to go to the championship game.
It's kind of a big deal.
That is major.
That is major.
Major.
So I know you used to floss those SDSU sweaters back in the day nonstop. Who you got this weekend?
I still cheer for them.
Ring that bell.
Honestly,
I went to the University of Southern California. Every time USC comes to town, or they came to town back in the day, I sat there fight on all day. It was beautiful to watch the massacre happen. Like, let's watch the bloodbath. Let's go. And I made no qualms about it. I would root for the hometown team every other weekend. But when USC came to town.
All right. So we got AJ Mendoza going Aztecs this coming Saturday. Good luck, my friend.
Every other weekend, I'm the same.
There you go. Way to cover your bases, dog. Way to cover your bases on that one.
Hey, and before we get out of here, does Day by Day have any social media presence? Are you guys online? Can people find you on Instagram, yes, Twitter, Facebook, anywhere online? Where do they go to see AJ and Day by Day BJJ Apparel Company?
It's Instagram is our main platform, so that's where we have the most action. It's just basically spelled out Day by Day Jiu-Jitsu. And then we have a Facebook page too. And then our online, you know, website or our online shop is daybydayjiu-jitsu.com.
Or just show up at the convention center this weekend and go, hey, Jay!
Broke his ass!
Broke his ass!
And one of the best things about Hawaii is the local people support strong. So, you know, being that Day by Day is the headquarters, is here in Hawaii and originated here, the local people are so so supportive. So there's going to be more than a handful of guys wearing our gear in their fights, and even last time there's a bunch of people in the crowd wearing our stuff. So thank you to the local people of Hawaii for all the strong support.
All right, my man, from the Two High Dads, we wish you good luck this weekend. Good luck with the company and good luck with the family, my
man. Get some, baby. Get some.
Thank you, boys. Thank you for having me. Keep up the great work. And, I'll see you guys soon. And thanks for the wishes.
The Two Hawaii Dads Podcast. These two still chant Let's Go Bows at the football game.
All right, there it is, the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast.
Studio Kalihi.
AJ Mendoza.
Good luck this weekend, my man. Thank you so much for jumping on the show.
You think he's going to win?
Of course he's going to win.
What are you going to be all mad for? What are you going to be so aggro for? Just be positive.
Rip his face off. Is that what they say? I don't know what that
is. Are you going to go?
Huh?
Are you going to go?
It's sort of
a big deal.
It is a big deal. And unfortunately, I am emceeing a wedding this weekend. So I'm not going to be making it.
So you are not the friend of the year. And, brah.
Consolation friend of the year.
You're not the dad of the year. Well, this guy is not the dad of the year.
2019, not dad of the year.
You were telling me about this story about, I thought it was you because you had the sniffles for a minute here today. But that,
what?
Brah.
So this Massachusetts dad.
Yeah.
Not the best. His son took some white powdery substance to school.
Why the hell would he do that?
Well, it's because there was Spider-Man stickers on top of this Ziploc bag.
So it's cool to look at.
So it's cool to look like. So he takes it to school, and then the teacher's thinking, like, what's in this bag? And he says, it makes my dad into Spider-Man. I guess
into the Incredible Hulk.
Some kind of Marvel superhero.
Because there was a white powdery substance inside that little bag.
It was cocaine.
Hey.
The kid took cocaine to school. Not the best look. So the teacher calls up, whatever the PD of them. They go to the house. Dad has multiple Spider-Man baggies lying around, and he's passed out.
Not a good look.
And so there's coke and marijuana in the house.
Not a good look.
So 2019, not dad of the year. That guy from Massachusetts.
And that's not you. We're talking about that dude from Massachusetts.
Yeah. I'm barely hanging on to dad of the year this year, 2019.
Well, you have a few weeks left, and one way you can impress is with Thanksgiving dinner. Have you made your plans for Thanksgiving dinner yet, Justin?
The plans is that we're going to go to my... So I live in a duplex upstairs, yep, upstairs with family. So mm-hmm. It's going to keep it to our house, and we're in charge of stuffing.
Right. I was going to say, what are you making? Stuffing.
Stuffing and something to be determined later.
Are we talking about stovetop stuffing? Like you just got to make the box?
Half-half. So semi-homemade. How about you?
So taking stovetop and what, putting apples in it? Putting bacon on top?
Yeah.
What's up, bacon bae?
All right, what are you doing?
Well, that's the challenge. I'm supposed to be cooking this year. Normally, for the last few years, we've been buying the...
Zippy?
Yeah. You can't go wrong. Not saying like anyone is better than the other, but there's something to be said to just spending X amount of dollars and coming home and...
Everything's done.
Ready to go.
Awesome.
All you got to do is heat it up.
All right, so this year, a little different.
Well, because last year, I did both. We bought the food, and then I actually made a turkey. I cooked a turkey, too. So now that I know that I can do it. Yeah, we threw it in the oven. OG style. Now that I know I can do it, maybe we're going to do it all in-house.
So what's the usual menu for the
turkey,
for the Ohana?
Mashed potatoes, stuffing. The thing about our house is the yams with the marshmallows on top. Ooh, you ever have that?
I've seen it.
Gotta
before.
Eat it. It's my mom's recipe.
Ooh.
It's been handed down, and we're thinking we may try it out this year, and we may not screw it up. Speaking of handing it down and not screwing it up, come over here, little Ruby Rube.
Hey,
Ruby Jean is down here in studio.
She's checking up on us.
Hanging
come
out
on
with
in.
The two Hawaii dads. Would you like to say hello to everyone? You want to talk into the microphone?
Hi.
How are you?
Are you good?
Are you ready for Frozen 2?
Somebody's got her nightgown on. We were out shopping, and Daddy had to hook up the nightgown. You want to tell people about the nightgown?
It was so good. It was pretty like a princess
run. Oh, I'm trying to hold her up, and she's making
that's exactly,
a list.
I got it. That's awesome. I'm ready for Frozen 2, too.
Are you getting ready to go to sleep, Ruby Jean?
Yeah. I did.
You are? All right. Well, thank you for coming down and saying hello. Our special guest appearance on the Two Hawaii Dads podcast. Can we get fist bumps before you go, Ruby?
Can I get an elbow bump?
Yes.
Oh, and that's a combo.
Elbow.
Give me elbows.
Elbow. Boom. Into the fist bump.
And a fist bump.
Boosh.
Oh, high five. Okay.
And a high five.
All right.
Love you, Rubes.
Ah.
See you in a little bit.
Frozen 2, it's right around the corner, man.
Are you going to take No.
We'll wait till it comes out on Disney Plus.
She wants to see it.
Of course.
Anyways, football. Are you going to watch the game?
I got to watch. Even though I have.
Do you even know? I don't even know. What is the game?
I have no idea either. I'm not. My team isn't playing, so it's usually what? It's usually the Cowboys. It's usually the Lions playing at least one game. I don't know if they play each other, but I mean, it is what it is. I think this year, I don't know what green bean casserole. That sounds like a thing, right?
That's a side you're gonna go for?
I think I'm gonna do that. No?
I do dessert. Like,
oh, you're a dessert guy?
Dessert. Well, green bean.
Hello. I'm gonna hit up Udasai at Ayabo. I'm gonna get the pumpkin crunch.
Smart man. Ring that bell. We want to know what you're doing for Thanksgiving.
Yep.
We've still got a few days left. I'm thinking we're going to get this posted actually before the holiday for a change. So where do they go, my friend, to find us online and
at
let us know what they're doing for
Thanksgiving? Two Hawaii Dads on the gram, at Cool Daddy Cool J, at Honolulu Pulse.
I'm actually trying to see if we can get the Facebook going. We may actually have a Facebook presence soon, so stick around.
That means we got to hire somebody.
Or we may just make other people work harder than they have to. It is the Two Hawaii Dads Podcast.
I'm better.
That's Justin.
Jason right across the way.
We will see you next time.
Bye.
Kidding.